Well, good morning. Well, oh, good evening. Yeah. Whew. Good evening. Welcome to our Thanksgiving Vespers service. As we begin, I just wanted to open up with a short passage from 1 Timothy chapter 4, one of my favorite Thanksgiving passages, where Paul says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude or thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." So let's keep this passage on our minds as we consider all the good things that God has done for us in Christ, and how he's blessed us with so much more in life, family and food, which we will be excited for tomorrow, and things like this. So as we begin our time of worship, let's stand for our call to worship from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship to the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Amen. And now let's grab our hymnals and sing hymn 715 as Craig leads us.
Come ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storm begin. God our Maker doth provide, for our wants to be supplied. Come, dear God, don't temple come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his grace to yield, wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses put away. Give his angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast. But the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thy angels, come, praise the glorious harvest home.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come before you this evening asking you to accept our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. And we thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the truth of your word and the example of your life, for your steadfast obedience by which you overcame temptation, for your dying through which we, through you, have overcome death, and for your rising to life again in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit that we may know him and make him known and through him at all times and in all places, even here this evening during our Vesper service of worship. May we give thanks to you in all things. We pray in your name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now for a litany of thanksgiving, let's do this responsibly. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Let us remember his mercy, for he is gracious and compassionate.
Thank you for calling us to faith in Christ, for putting your Spirit within us, for giving us the mind of Christ, for gathering us into your church.
We thank you, Lord, for extending your grace to us, for calling us to a life of gratitude, for calling us to service in your kingdom. Thanks be to God. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he satisfies the thirsty, he fills the hungry with good things, and he heals the afflicted. Let us celebrate his abundant goodness.
We thank you, gracious Father, that you have provided all our needs, for the food on our tables, for the clothes on our bodies, for the beds we sleep in, and for the dwellings that shelter us.
We praise you for all your gifts that go beyond our basic needs, for the joy we experience in community, for the comfort we receive from one another during times of sorrow, for the beauty and pleasure that you bring into our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I was just thinking for a few minutes about the church where I did my internship. We always had an annual Thanksgiving service, but it was at 5 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, because everybody in the area of Zachary, Louisiana, was a hunter, and they wanted to get out immediately after the service. So I remember doing that once, and then finishing my internship and saying goodbye. I never wanted to do that again. Glad you're here tonight. I want us to focus on a favorite story of mine for a few moments. And that is the story of the 10 lepers, and recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Let me read these words to you. And it came about that while he was on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "What, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This story takes place on a reservation of sorts, a border town, or border area, we might say, between Samaria and Galilee. And that should not be surprising, because that's where lepers went, to kind of a neutral zone, because they couldn't live in the communities where they lived, and so they were forced out to the border area where they could survive. And apparently this is a border town for the both provinces, kind of an asylum for undesirables, if you will. Leprosy, as you know, is one of the worst diseases in the ancient world. It's still around, not as much as it used to be, but it eats away at the body. It takes away the tissues. It makes somebody unrecognizable, a very, very miserable disease. And so this was a perfect place for the colony. And one of the things I find interesting about this is that Jesus always has a tendency to go to places where there is pain and hurt. He didn't have to take this particular route. But when we read verses 11 through 13, it looks like this is exactly where he wanted to go. And the Lord doesn't ever do anything by chance. I believe he had planned an encounter with these individuals that day. And we learn in verse 16 that this band of lepers was a mixed group. We had at least one Samaritan. Apparently, most people believe that the rest of them were conscientious Jews. But whenever somebody got leprosy, it made for strange bedfellows, because it didn't matter who you were. You were forced into these border situations, and you had to get along in order to survive. Leprosy was a horrible thing, as I mentioned. And if you read Numbers chapter 13 and 14, it's a very terrible disease, but one that has to be dealt with in a certain way. You have to go about and find cleansing. And once you do find cleansing, that's where the real work begins, because you have to go to the priest, and the priest has to do certain things for your body, or if there's a house that leprosy is found inside of it, the priest had to take someone with him and go and examine the whole situation and perform certain rites so that the person or the house could be declared clean. And a very lengthy passage in Numbers 14 with all of this. Leprosy also is an outward sign, I think, or an outward picture of an inward reality of sin. I think all sickness ultimately is due to sin. That doesn't mean every time we get sick, it's a result of a personal sin. But if we trace all the way back to the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, that's when sin entered the picture, and with sin comes every disease there is into the human race. It was a disgrace to have it. You were filled with shame. There was a sense of isolation from the community and from God as well. So this is a very problematic situation. And then notice in verse 14 the remedy to it. They cry out to Jesus. You know, that's what you need to do whenever you have a severe problem in your life, is to cry out to the one who can address it, ultimately the only one who can. But they cried out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus healed the lepers. He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And it came about, as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, this is very interesting, because earlier in the book and earlier in the ministry of Jesus, he healed a single man of leprosy. And in that situation, he healed him directly. And he laid hands on him. And he pronounced him clean, which is something that the priests were supposed to do. But here, we don't have a direct healing. It's very, very indirect. Jesus does not heal with a touch, as he did in the other situation. And he makes no pronouncement. He simply tells the men, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Why was this healing different? We don't know for certain. We could speculate a little bit. This could be an illustration of the obedience that comes from faith. In other words, the men had to go and obey the words of Jesus before they received healing. Obedience is not in conflict with faith. Real saving faith always demonstrates itself in obedience. That's why James says faith without works is dead. One person can say they have faith and that they trust God, but if they don't act on that faith, we can question whether or not it's really real. Another thing that could have been going on was that Jesus was giving them men an opportunity to return and give thanks, which he clearly expects based on the three questions he asks. We know that Jesus has an expectation of people coming back and saying, "Thank you for what you did." I think this is also what Jesus was doing. He was giving these men an opportunity to return. He was giving these men the opportunity to say, "Thank you for what you've done." Well, we see the remedy, and then we come to the response, which is the centerpiece of the passage. I have to ask myself the question, what made this man come back? This one Samaritan healed by leprosy. What prompts this man, 1 out of 10, to come back, fall down, and glorify God by offering overwhelming thanks to Jesus? I believe the man stopped and considered all that had happened to him that day. He had a job to do, and that is he had to go and get ceremonially pronounced clean. And this man was in the worst possible position. Not only did he have leprosy like the other 9, but he was a Samaritan. So he was not only cut off from the Jews, he was cut off really from God. He was pretty far away, in other words, alienated. And we assume the other 9 were lepers, as I mentioned already. This man knew that Jesus could have healed the 9 and left him out. That's what we would expect. That's what a Samaritan would expect. But we know that's not what happened. No, Jesus' actions communicate that God had come close and that the Lord was concerned not only for this man's physical healing, but also for spiritual healing of his soul. This is a beautiful story because it shows that there are no barriers with Jesus with any human being. Doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done, what is in your background, Jesus has a way of destroying all barriers that get in the way between us and him. Another picture of this is the woman at the well in John 4. Jesus broke through every man-made barrier to reach and save an immoral woman. She was a Samaritan, she was a female, and she was immoral. And Jesus did not allow any of that to prevent him from getting close to her and making a difference in her life. So also this man realized all the barriers that Jesus broke through to save him. And he offers worship to Jesus. You'll notice in kind of an awkward way, he fell on his face, verse 16, giving thanks to him. And he came back glorifying God with a loud voice. I believe in the Greek it's something like a megaphone type effect. He was very, very excited, very happy that the Lord had healed him. And the man offered worship. He praised God and he fell at Jesus' feet. I don't know that this man had his theology correct if he knew that Jesus was God, but the picture that shows this innocent willingness to give thanks is really an amazing picture, because whether he knew it or not, he did all the right things. He praised God and he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he knew, perhaps, that Jesus was God's instrument, at least, if not God's very presence at best. The Lord Jesus extended grace and kindness to this man's life. And the man's physical healing led to a spiritual conversion. The man recognized who Jesus actually is, I believe, God in flesh. And he returned to worship him. And you notice the words of Jesus, "Your faith has made you well." Literally, your faith has saved you. I believe this man experienced not only physical healing that day, but a greater gift, and that is spiritual healing. That he was given eternal life. And one of the tragedies of this passage is that the 9 who received the healing in their bodies went on their way. They were at a distance, and Jesus spoke to them, and they stayed at a distance. And a lot of people go through like that. You know, we look at the Lord, and we our biggest needs so often are external and temporary. Lord, I need help financially. Lord, I need deliverance from this sickness. Lord, I need help with my relationship that's falling apart. Or Lord, I don't have a relationship. I need a husband or a wife. And a lot of people go through life like that, and they stand at a distance from Jesus, the very one that can answer the deepest need of your life. Because the deepest need in your life is not to be healed of a disease. It's not to get financial freedom. It's not to find a spouse. It's not to make an A on a test. It's not to be successful in your career. The greatest need is down inside of our hearts. And that is, we are separated from God because of sin. And we need to be brought back into a relationship with him. We need to be reconciled. And when that reconciliation takes place and you realize that Jesus was not obligated to save you, he was not obligated to reach out to do anything for you, when you realize just what he's done and how many barriers he crossed in order to bring this man into the kingdom, you can't help but give thanks. And my prayer tonight is that we all would avoid standing at a distance from Jesus. The nine got what they wanted and left. And so often that's the way we treat Jesus, like a vending machine. We pray for something, he gives it to us, and we go on. And then later on, there's something else that comes up that we need, and something else after that, and something else after that. But what we really need down deep inside is a close personal relationship with him, where we realize he is my Savior. He has taken my sin away. He has welcomed me into his forever family. And my sin has been paid for. Jesus wants our hearts. He wants us to be united to him in a personal relationship. And that's what really leads to thanks. That's what leads to true, authentic, thankful hearts. Instead of going through life with a meism. You know, we talk about theism, where we're focused on God. Well, the bulk of the world go through the life with meism. And that is, I'm so focused on myself and my needs and getting done what I need to get done that I lose sight. And that's what leads to grumbling and complaining all the time. But if you take your eyes off yourself and you realize what Christ has done, who he is, that leads to a thankful heart. Obedience demonstrates saving faith. But gratitude and thanksgiving also demonstrate saving faith. If you notice that in the New Testament, you'll see these verses all the time. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Colossians 1:11. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. In another place, it talks about offering spiritual sacrifices. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks and praise to his name. If you're genuinely united to Christ, there will be a gratitude inside of you that no matter what your circumstances are, that you'll pull through it and say, Lord, I have much to be thankful for. I have the greatest gift that anyone could ever be given. And that alone makes me grateful. And whatever else happens in my life, I've got to trust you that you're in control, that you know what you're doing, and that you have a plan that is unfolding, even though I don't understand all the details. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving this year. I hope you have much to be thankful for. And most of all, that you're thankful for a Savior who crosses all the barriers to get to you and bring you into his family by faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful story. And often we feel so far away, like a foreigner, just like the Samaritan man. And yet you are pleased to bring close to you those that are furthest away. And so I pray tonight, Lord, wherever our hearts are, wherever our circumstances, that you would draw us to yourself, that you would knock down every barrier that gets in the way of us being grateful to you for all the good things that you have given to us. And most of all, for that great, great salvation that we enjoy because we've embraced Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, make it so in every one of our hearts. And we'll give you the praise and glory throughout the holidays for it. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Craig is going to come and lead us in another hymn, number 604, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. Let's stand for that.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Bright youth and snow-crowned age, strong men and maidens meet. choirs with all the saints on earth, pour out the strain of joy and bliss through rapture noblest Lord. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, on through life's long path, still chanting as ye go, from youth to age by night and day, in gladness and in woe. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
You can be seated. We come to a time of sharing now, and if you'd like to come up and share something that you're thankful for throughout this year, 2023, or some things that you're thankful for, we'd love to hear that. So who would like to go first? Lucas? No, Alan?
Thank you, sir. Let's go ahead and talk in like this, all right? I think the Lord doesn't really mind what angle I point this thing up at, as long as I'm thanking Him for things, right? Now, this is going to sound really unconventional, but like a really close brother I have says, my convention is to be unconventional, but at the same time to do God's will if I can. And what I'm thankful this year for is existing. You heard me right. When do you ever think about the fact that you exist? When do you ever think about the fact that, this is going to sound real cliche, but really things become cliches because it's just that true. You exist because God willed you to exist. In eternity past, God the Father was loving God the Son in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And in that eternal plan He made, before there was a single galaxy filament at the largest, or a quark, subatomic particle at the smallest, when He made out His eternal plan for the universe, He decided the world needed one of you too. And when it was time for me to come into the kingdom, He showed me the houses of the wicked, these mansions with like 30-foot ceilings, with swimming pools that were huge and like 13-foot deep or something. They could dive from like, you can dive from the balcony up high and all that. And He said, Alan, do you love me more than these? And I said, of course I do. He showed me the equations that govern the winds and the waves and their solutions. These are solutions to 300-year-old math problems that no one has seen and no eye has seen, no ear has heard, because that's kind of how every math discovery is before it gets published and people realize what it really is. Because when has the discoverer ever been able to explain things? Without the help of God. And He said, Alan, do you love me more than these? And I said, of course I love you. He let me drink in their taverns. He let me date many of their women. He let me go to churches that, you know, say very incorrect things about God and meet all your physical outward needs like housing and food and, you know, MX black cards and stupid things like that that only last 80 years and then are just they fly away like the dust that they are. And He said, do you love me more than these? And I said, of course I love you. You know everything. Now, He didn't say this as a voice from heaven. I just read the verses about Peter and I just kind of identified with them. And I said, you know, this makes a lot of sense. It sounds exactly like how I see Christ. It's like, you know, every time I've denied Him, every time I've failed to confess Him publicly, if I'm on the street at an abortion clinic trying to save a few babies with my friend Elias, who really needs a companion this Thanksgiving because unfortunately his wife has deserted him. Massive, massive prayer request. It's kind of an emergency prayer request. But seriously, I'm going to go and spend Thanksgiving with him. He has nobody, and my family has everybody, and they understand, thankfully. But what I want to say here is that the next text in the past, it said, when you were young, you dressed yourself and walked wherever you wished. But when you grew old, someone else will dress you and will carry you where you do not wish to go. Where do I not wish to go? Well, it might be back to school. I might have to teach as a professor. I might have to teach fluid dynamics. I don't like teaching people. I like doing things on my own. But Jesus has plans for our lives that might not in any way align with what we want. And that's okay. I'm thankful to exist. And part of existing is submitting to the will of whom who wills me to exist. So when you think about, wait, I exist. I'm conscious. I'm a human. Whose will are you submitting to? Because that cross is going to be there long after I'm forgotten. And the same for any of us. So just, I'm thankful to exist. Coram Deo.
Thank you, Alan. We're glad you exist too. Somebody else? Lucas.
I wanted to thank this congregation for all their prayers. I'm just going to, otherwise I'm going to be bending over the thing. It's just easier to just talk. Everyone can hear me well enough? Yes. Okay. I wanted to thank this congregation for all their prayers, for Isaiah in particular, and how healthy he's been. It's really been a pregnancy, other than the, I guess, disturbing ultrasounds in some, you know, in some respects. Early on, it's been a pregnancy basically without issues, and he's been born a healthy baby. And in some sense, through the intercession of the saints, through all of you as saints, you know, this is, it's due. God using you, using your prayers, we're thankful for it. So thank you very much for your diligence in praying. I'm thankful also for a new job and ability to support my family and for the suffering that occasionally that job brings too. So I'll leave it at that. But especially, thank you for your prayers for my child. I appreciate it. So thank you.
Somebody else? Joan?
I've never thought much about my health. I have had good health, and I knew it, and I was fine. But in the last 2 days, I've been reading the letters that came from my nursing school classmates, and I am awed by how bad so many of them are. They can't drive. They can't do hardly, some of them, not all of them, but there's so many that are in bad shape, and I had no idea how bad. In this last year, it's gotten a lot worse. And, you know, okay, so we're all 81 or two, you know, you don't expect to be like you were before, but I am just so newly thankful for the health that I have, and God has been so good.
Thank you, Joan. Somebody else? Yes.
Good evening. Something that I'm very thankful for is recently, about a week ago, I got accepted into a Reformed Theological Seminary. And a lot of that, the reason why I'm so thankful and I'm sharing it here is because I couldn't have really done it without this church family. I came here this December, it'll be 4 years ago, you know, just coming to certain theological convictions and being like, well, guess I got to go to a new church now. And just showing up here, and I've just been, I felt like it's a real family here, and it's wonderful. And when I went into college, I knew I wanted to do something with theology or whatever. I was kind of like, oh, I'm a theology nerd. I'll learn how to teach and be a professor somewhere. But it wasn't until I came to Christ Central that I really felt the call towards ministry. And that's actually starting to somewhat come into fruition now with the news that I received of being accepted into Reformed Theological Seminary. So I'll be starting that next fall. I'll be moving to Orlando and, you know, still getting the details of that sorted out, but around July of next year. And I'm just very thankful for the support that you've all made. I'm thankful for the opportunity I've had to be able to teach, be it teaching the little kids, which I've done for the first time now, or the middle and high schoolers, or the times when Nick Betancourt in his biblical theology class has allowed me to teach twice, or being able to talk to just some of the elders about being pulpit supply at a Faith Presbyterian sometimes. Just this church has provided me with so many different opportunities, and even being involved in the choir, which I probably should get back to, maybe. I thank you all for so many of these opportunities, because they've allowed me to not just sit in my room alone reading Theology Nerd, but to actually be participating in the life of the church, because the Christian life is not just, it's not just about reading theology and knowing God and understanding God. That does play a role. That is important. Okay, read your Bible. That's good. But it really is about being involved with the body of Christ, and I feel like I've found that here, and that's led me to where I am now. So I'm thankful for that. All right, I'll zip it now. Thank you.
Yeah, Lisa Johnson made a comment the other day to Nick and I, and she mentioned how exciting it was to walk by a Sunday school class and see men in there teaching children. You know, Brian Waugh, I believe, and Matthew, and it's just very exciting to see that sort of thing, a real covenant-type model for our church family. So thank you, Matthew. Excited for you. Somebody else would like to share.
Peter, I hope I'm not going to take your thunder, of course. But, no, I want to express thanks to God for the, we've been doing ESL for 4 or 5 years now, and we finally got, this year is the first year I think where I felt like we've settled in, and the volunteer, because it's difficult to, you know, to get volunteers to sign up and do something, especially when you think of it being a weekly event, to get people to do that. And this year has been easier to handle because of the volunteer staff has I felt like God has provided a more solid base and a consistent base. And many of you are out there tonight, out there, but I thank God for that.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm just really thankful for this church. I feel like as our world gets darker, and even people that are close to me are drifting from the faith, it is just so refreshing to be able to come here Sunday after Sunday and hear either Nick or John exposit the word, to go to Sunday school classes where my faith is encouraged and strengthened, the women's Bible study where we can get together and, you know, just share God's word and pray for one another and just have true, deep fellowship. And just the worship, you know, the choir. And, you know, I feel like when I'm away, sometimes I'll visit churches and there's some truth there, but it's just so watered down, and I'm just so thankful for this body of Christ.
Somebody else. Demi.
I just wanted to thank everybody for making me feel welcome here. I've always been a believer, but not a practicing believer. So it's really nice to be among people who encourage me to continue my journey. And I watch you all, and I am in awe sometimes of how you're able to take your day-to-day problems and yet be happy. So I'm learning that from watching all of you, and it really touches my heart, and I do consider you all family.
Thank you, Demi. Anybody else? Ben.
wanted to say thank you to Candace and Craig. We have fun in choir, and sometimes we sing too. And anyways, I want to thank you and for the music, the contribution you make, and your talents. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hello again. Sometimes I feel, think, that God took all the saints in the Tampa Bay area who have the gift of encouragement and put them in one church. So many of you have that gift and are very good encouragers, and have been so encouraging to me and my family since the time we've been here, especially lately with the, you know, ordination service the other night. And so thank you all for that and all the love and prayers and support. And obviously, I'm thankful for my beautiful wife back there. Brownie points. But it's true. And I'm very thankful for the hot date I'm about to go on at Sacred Pepper with that beautiful woman back there. So.
Thank you, Nick. Somebody else? Yes, Beverly.
I can get through this. I was just thinking how thankful I am for my sister, and we've been in our home almost a year now. I could never have done anything like that on my own, but she is a great instigator and a mover, and I'm so thankful for that. It's been a different life being knowing that we're in one place, and that's we don't have to move again. And I'm also so thankful still for being able to teach the tiny ones. I remember when they said, we have a class for 2 and 3 year olds, and not being a, never being a mother, I said, really? And they goes, oh yes, well, it's just been so much fun for all of us to do that, the children and myself. And that they are learning even at 2 years old and 3, and it's just been a wonderful thing, even though they might not say anything when they first come in. But that has been a great thing that God has put into this church, and I'm so thankful that I'm part of it.
Thank you, Bev. Anybody else? Well, I'll close this out and just say how thankful I am for the church body. All these years putting up with me and as your pastor and enjoying all of it. And so thankful for the leadership, the elders and the deacons, the church staff members. I'm so thankful that Nick reached the point of ordination this year. Been a great, great addition to the staff. I'm so thankful that Luis has completed over a year now being with us and his wife, and just seeing the fruition of a lot of prayers, a lot of planning, and a lot of waiting to see the Lord bring that about. And I'm so grateful for my wife, Diane. We'll celebrate 40 years of marriage next year, and thank God for that. I'm thankful that my brother Mark could be here this year from Birmingham. He came down to spend Thanksgiving with us, and we'll have one daughter with us at least tomorrow. Daughter Carolyn from Nashville for Thanksgiving. And I'm just thankful for the way the Lord leads us, you know, through good times and bad times and difficulty. And nothing could be better than that, you know, to see the Lord day by day, one day at a time, lead and guide us in the way that we should go, and surprise us. As Alan mentioned, that sometimes God's will and our will doesn't mesh together, but he knows what he's doing. All we need to do is act with childlike faith and continue to walk with him. So,
with that said, let's stand. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm supposed to pray now. Hold on. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for so many reasons to be thankful. Help us, Lord, to be like the Samaritan in our story tonight, that we would keep on coming back, getting closer and closer and closer to you, and offering thanks and praise and rejoicing, because we'll do this throughout eternity. And I pray that you would prepare us for that now, and that we would continue to live thankful lives throughout tomorrow, the end of this year, and into the new year. Lord, bless us to that end. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and Craig will come and lead us in Now Thank We All Our God, number 98, and then we'll have the benediction.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way. Gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given. The Son in him who reigns within in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and air adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be.
Receive now the benediction of our Lord. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.